Money. It's what we all need. It's often the primary reason we start a small business. It can either make us or break us. It can impact almost every aspect of our lives. As a woman in small business, it's important to know all you can so that you can master your money mindset. Do you know what your money stories are? Welcome to the Hot and Healthy in Business podcast, bringing you the secrets to burning bright, not out in business. I'm your host, Belinda Hyatt, best known as Bindi, Creative Communications Director for Hot and Healthy in Business. Join me for courageous conversations with experts, thought leaders, and business owners about the mindset, fuel, and success strategies needed to be sustainably successful as a woman in small business today. Melissa Ma is one of our very own Hot and Healthy in Business expert contributors. She's a superstar mum and passionate businesswoman with over 20 years' experience in the financial services industry. She's been a financial planner, a stockbroker, and a seminar delivery specialist. She's taken her knowledge of finance and her love of people and created her own money coaching business called Talking Money. She provides tools, support, and framework for people to give them clarity and awareness when it comes to their money. I reckon Melissa's someone that women in small business should have on their speed dial. I know, I will. Welcome to the Hot and Healthy in Business show, Melissa. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. Bindi, how are you?
I am so happy that you are with us today. I'm so excited to have you on air. Now, we're going to talk finance with you today. Or money, more importantly. And I want to know a little bit more about your backstory. Can you give us a little bit of a background on how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Well, I can probably give you the professional and the personal background, you know, because I guess they both tie into the reasons for me starting my own business. So professionally, I've been involved in finance, the finance industry, for over 20 years. I won't say how long, but it's, so predominantly as a financial planner, I was a stockbroker, and also I worked as a seminar delivery specialist for SunSuper. So I've worked for the big corporate banks and also the small boutique financial planning firms and, you know, obviously stockbroking companies and stuff like that, and the, you know, big corporations like SunSuper. So I had a huge exposure to everything in finance. A few years ago, I realised that I didn't want to be a financial planner anymore. So I left SunSuper and I had to go and be a financial planner again to realise that. But my motivation, I decided to leave employment, paid work. And I just actually had some time to stop, probably for the first time in my life, and actually have a think about, you know, what I wanted to be when I grow up. And
when we're grown up.
I'm not saying that that's happened yet. But, and there was always a huge motivation for me to actually educate people, help people, you know, when I was doing financial planning. It was always very important for me for people to understand what they were doing with regards to their money and their finances, and whether it was retirement planning or investing or insurance.
It's a big part of it, isn't it?
It's because if you don't understand it, you're gonna stress about it. So I was always very cognizant of actually making sure people understood. So, you know, even when I did, you know, the huge big financial statements and advice and financial plans, I'd always have a little sheet on the front saying, this is what you're doing, this is why you're doing it, and this is the outcomes. So just, and if they had to understand that first to be able to, you know, for us to implement them, because if they didn't understand that, they would worry, they would stress. If the markets went down, they would, you know, pull their money out, and I mean, all those sorts of things. So it was very much about educating people through knowledge and empowering them about their situation and that sort of thing. So I sort of took that away from me. And the big aspect of it is that I continually used to have these conversations with people that were, you know, they were very, very good at what they did, either as a, you know, in a job or as their own business, or, I mean, whatever they did, they were very good at whatever they were doing. But the thing is, there was this expectation, because they were good at what they did, that they'd also be good with their money.
Isn't it funny, the people who are like working in a particular field are not good at doing it for themselves?
Exactly, like and particularly
really crap at doing their car, or you know, stuff like that.
Particularly in finance, which I'll talk about when I talk about my own situation. But so there was this expectation because of what they were good at, whatever, you know, they're good at what they did, that they'd also be good with their money.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no correlation whatsoever to that. Yeah. There could be an indirect correlation because these people are so focused on being in their genius zone.
Yeah.
That there's, you know, it doesn't mean that they're good with their money. But when they weren't, there was a very big embarrassment factor because they felt like they should. Yeah. Society made them feel like they should be good at managing their money. And, you know, these are very intelligent people earning good money.
Yeah.
I mean, all that sort of stuff. So, and then also bring in, you know, money's still such a taboo subject.
Why is that?
Oh, I don't know. We've
is
been,
it because it's so it's, personal?
It's part of our stories. It's part of our conditioning, I think, that you don't talk. It's not polite to talk about money. You know, you don't talk about money. It's crass. And, you know, if you do talk about money, you usually, you know, bragging about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, I was having this conversation with people the other day. People that have got, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of times you never even know.
Yeah.
So
isn't that funny?
Yeah. So bring in that, you know, money's still a taboo subject, but, you know, and also bring in from another angle is how do we define success? How do we define status? How do we define power in our society? Mm-hmm. It's all related around money. So there was this sort of this boiling pot for these people are feeling under a lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, embarrassment. And you know, and I was talking to someone in the States about this recently, and she said, I'd go as far to say, because this is a worldwide phenomenon. This isn't just Australia.
Yeah.
And she said, I would even go as far as saying shame. They feel shame around feeling like they should be in control and all over it and not. So what I wanted to do, and basically that's why I started my business, is to create a safe space for these people to have a real conversation around their money.
Yeah.
So no judgment, no what's been, you know, lie in the sand. Let's move forward. Mm. Let's really talk about what's going on and move forward. So that was really the motivation for me to start my own business from a business perspective. You referred to before about, you know, the plumber's always got the leaky taps.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my marriage ended six years ago. Really, predominantly, one of the main reasons was over money.
Really?
So, and you know, I mean, I've got the highest qualifications in finance and all that sort of stuff and degrees and whatever. But, I mean, it was so it doesn't really matter where you're at.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, it's such a big part of our lives, and it's, you know, it forms a part of our relationships and financial pressure and dishonesty around money and everything like that. So, I guess from a personal perspective, when I'm working with people and, you know, talking to people about this, I've actually been down in the trenches many, many times.
Yeah.
With, you know, under financial stress, under financial pressure, dishonesty.
And that's it. When people come to a professional like you for, you know, financial help, they're probably thinking, oh, well, you know, it's all right for them to tell me to do this, that and the other. But you've actually been through it yourself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I have.
Yeah.
I've lived and breathed it. Mm. Some I'd prefer not to. But what it has is it's actually and, you know, I've had a lot of feedback from clients that it is a safe space because I'm very open and honest about my journey and my path and my story.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of work. I mean, I've done a lot of work around myself, around my stories and particularly with money and stuff like that. So they know that it is a safe space. They know that they can actually be real about their situation and not say what they feel, you know, once again, what society you should be saying.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually what's really going on. So that's, I guess, in a nutshell, professionally and personally, the reason why I started my business. And the thing is, I wouldn't be so bold to say no one's doing it, but there's a lot of online programs and stuff like that. But doing the one-on-one personal, you know, mentoring, well, not, coaching and mentoring.
It doesn't suit everyone, does it? Everyone's situation is different.
Exactly, exactly. So so I just thought that there was a bit of a gap in the market.
Yeah.
To provide that, you know, really much that support, that accountability.
Yeah.
And, you know, my tagline is I come in on the money, but it's never about the money.
Never about the money.
Which I've realised. I mean, a lot of my clients will have conversations or whole sessions and we actually won't be talking about money.
Yeah.
But there's something else going
on
in the background.
There's something deeper there,
Money's a symptom
of
something else.
I was listening to a meditation the other day and they said that money is an energy.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, well, I never thought of it like that before. I thought it was a tangible thing.
Money's not real. No, it's just energy. We just use it, you know, in the ancient times, they used to use sheep and cattle and chickens. Now we just use money.
Yeah.
Yep. it's the stories we attach to money which gives it the
that's it the
tangible thing. That's it's our stories. It's not the money itself.
Yep.
Which is just, it's just an exchange.
Yeah.
It's the stories that we're attaching to it that gives the all the emotion around it.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, money makes the world go round, so they say, and it changes everything. You know, I think, you know, like most things in life, you know, once you're educated about how to make the most of it, which is what you do, it can change people's lives. What would you say is the biggest challenges you see people face when it comes to managing their finances? I mean, for me, 20 years ago, I became bankrupt.
Hmm.
I had nowhere to live. I pretty much, you know, lost a lot and had to start from scratch again. I had a small business at the time, had to claw my way back up. So what kind of challenges do you see people face today? You know, how finances changed and how do you help them through it?
Hmm. So I think your example is probably is a very good example.
Yeah, I needed you back then.
If I had a dollar for everyone, said, I wish if I met you, yes. You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I think the crux is we are so reactive, which is probably, you know, a bit, you know, back, you know, tied into your example, Bindi, is we are so reactive to our finances and our money and our situation, and we just sort of, you know, we're reactive. So we're really never driving the bus, so to speak, around our money and our finances. We just sort of let life happen around it. And, I mean, I guess my focus with people, and also, you mean, so it's, you know, understanding our numbers, knowing your numbers, understanding your money pots on a tangible perspective, because, you know, to get that clarity and awareness and efficiency around your money. So don't be in vagueness and avoidance, just hoping it's all going to sort itself out, because believe you me, I've tried that many times and it doesn't work.
No.
So it's really getting out of that vagueness and avoidance and really owning your space, owning your numbers. And like, you know, I mean, it sounds easy, but sometimes you just need someone to give you a hand with that. And I've got, I mean, I go through a very set process around knowing your numbers. So, you know, we track spending. We look at reviewing fixed costs. We look at how all your bank accounts are structured and your money's flowing around to get that, you know, to get that clarity and awareness and efficiency around your money. So it's really becoming very proactive and taking control, owning your space, you know, ownership around your money and finances, particularly as women, which we'll obviously talk about a little bit later. But it's just understanding that clarity, you know, clarity and understanding your numbers, understanding what you owe, what you own, what's coming in, what's going out, where you are actually spending your money. Are you happy with where you're spending your money, or do you want to spend it somewhere else? So you need to know, you know, you need to understand all that if you want to change your situation as well. So it's just really important to have that understanding around the, you know, knowing your numbers, understanding your money pot, how your money pot, what your money pot looks like.
And that can be scary for people, can't
it? It's very confronting because people, particularly people that have been in vagueness and avoidance, which a lot, I mean, we all exist in that vagueness and avoidance with different things, but money seems to be a big one of them. So, I always say to people, look, can you just trust me? And, you know, particularly with tracking their spending, tracking their lifestyle spending, that can be very confronting of actually, you know, taking ownership of where you are spending your money.
And seeing where you're wasting money too.
Yeah, lifestyle leakage. Lifestyle leakage, I call that.
That's a good one.
So, but the thing is, when people actually do it, it has, once they actually start doing it, and, you know, I have to take them kicking and squealing and drag them along. Once they do it, and this has happened every single person I've worked with, it's so empowering to actually know where you are. Now, that might not look fantastic, but it's very empowering to know where you are, because as someone said to me years ago, the best map in the world's no good if you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
So once you know where you are, then you've got the ability to actually move forward and make some changes. So that in itself is very empowering, to know what your situation, to get out of that vagueness and avoidance and actually know what your financial situation looks like. So knowing your numbers is really, it's really empowering. And it's just amazing the transformations that, you know, just by even doing that step And I, you know, people always tend to, they develop what I call conscious spending habits. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's, and one thing I always say when I start working with people, I'm not here to tell you what you should and shouldn't spend your money on. I'm not here to tell you what you should and should and shouldn't do. I'm not your mother. This is for me to come in and for you to tell me what's working and what's not working, and let's look at making the not working bit work. So, you know, developing the conscious spending habits via, you know, tracking their spending, for an example. This happens every single time just by osmosis, because once you start, you create that awareness around your money and what you're spending, it's like any habit. You can't uncreate it then. You can't unstop it. And so it's gorgeous. You know, these people that have been, you know, kicking and squealing about tracking their spending for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, they say, Melissa, can I track it for another 30 days? And they continue doing it because it's become a habit. It's a new habit, empowered them. It's made them feel in control of their finances and actually being able to see what it all looks like.
Yep.
Because then you can start making some decisions about what you want to do. So that's probably the first really big challenge. Mm. The other one is then understanding where all that's coming from. So a big area that I work in my business also is sort of our internal money stories, and understanding how that triggers us, how it impacts our motivations and behaviours in our tangible world and in our everyday life. So it's really, really important. I mean, I always say to people, I can come in and clean it all up on the outside and make it all look really pretty, but if you don't go and dig a bit deeper and look at where all that's coming from, that won't be sustainable, because you haven't addressed the underlying issue.
Yep.
That's put you in under pressure, perhaps financial pressure or vagueness and avoidance or whatever it is in the first place. So we go and clean it up to sort of take that pressure off first, but then we go and dig a bit deeper to actually see, well, what's actually going on here?
Mm.
And I mean, the best thing, the thing I love the most of working with people is when they say, Melissa, you've changed my whole mindset around money.
That's incredible.
You've changed actually how I think about money, how I show up. And it even, it's once again, it's that habit. It creeps up on them, because we work together for, you know, usually for 6 months. And so it's just that consistent daily improvements and checking in and having the support and being accountable and stuff like that. I'm very much the carrot, not the stick, by the way. And I don't do budgets either. I do spending plans. And it's just like that slow burn.
Yep.
And it's just implementing to the point where sometimes people say that, you know, I've just completely changed the way I think about money.
Yeah.
And that it even surprises them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's very, very cool.
Your job must be so rewarding.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I actually really love it. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, getting back to education, I think that the funny thing is, you know, like for my generation, we weren't taught about money and finance through school or education. And for me, it wasn't until I actually got a mortgage that I went, holy crap, I need to really take a hard look at this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, getting into a mortgage, buying a home, or even buying a car.
Or just any debt.
Any debt at all is not pretty.
No.
And I think they need to change the way they educate kids, you know, and actually start it from a younger age so that they're more financially fit in the next generation. And being a mum, do you think that's a great idea? Like, do you think, like, with your kids,
absolutely,
they'd be better off as
absolutely. I mean, the funny thing is, when I talk to people about my business and stuff, they said, you know, in so many times people said, you need to be teaching this in schools.
Yeah.
And even to the point, and I sort of, you know, oversee secondary schools, but even I've spoken to some mums at, you know, the state school where my kids go, the primary school where my kids go, and they said, I would even pay for my young children to come along to something like that. So, because the thing is, I'm dealing with a generation that doesn't, you know, mean my generation, as, you know, people in their 40s and stuff like that, which don't understand this stuff. Yeah. And so how are they, because they weren't taught by their parents, you know, everyone's doing the best that they can do with the information they've got.
And do you find that we also get habits from our parents? Like absolutely. The way that they manage money.
That's where our money stories come from. That's where our money story comes from. So that, I mean, our stories, our beliefs are ingrained by the age of 7.
Wow.
By taking we're little sponges in these theta brain waves, and we just take everything in. There's no filters.
Yep.
So we don't even have any choice about what we take in
it is what it is.
So we, you know, ingrained in our things, and then they, you know, as we get older, by our environment and our surroundings, get, you know, okay, reinforced through our whole life.
Yep.
And that's actually, we think we're sort of, you know, all in control on our conscious levels, you know, driving the show, running the show.
Hell
it's no. actually our, these beliefs, which are completely running our, you know, running the show, our subconscious beliefs and our stories. And our money stories are a very, very big part of that, which, you know, is from our upbringing. How, you know, I mean, when I work with people about their money stories, the first thing I ask them was, how was money spoken about when you're growing up? How is it spoken about when you're growing up? Or was it spoken about? Back to that taboo around money. How is it spoken about?
Honestly, it's so amazing. You know, like, nobody approaches money in the way that you do.
No.
And I think, wow, you have so much opportunity out there. I think we need to start a school right now with you. Okay. I think that's what we need to do.
But, yes, I think it absolutely, I think it needs to be taught. And very much, I mean, I've even spoken to Queensland Government about this being the missing link by empowering young women, young girls, around understanding this stuff.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely. I completely agree that it should be being taught at a younger age.
Yeah. Now, for women in small business, so, you know, thinking a few more years down the track, for women in small business, what recommendations in regard to money could you give them when it comes to planning for success in their business?
Yeah, I think first of all, I think it's so vitally important to have your personal finances as efficient as possible.
Yep.
And the direct correlation that has to having a successful and a profitable business, there is a definite correlation there to making sure. So, I mean, I work with a lot of people in business, but around their personal finances, not in their business, but obviously they can implement exactly what we do in their business is the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is the amount of women particularly start businesses and they don't even, I mean, the first thing I did when I started my business account is it was empty for a while, but I opened up a business bank account and kept everything, you know, separate. I'm a bit OCD, so I keep it everything completely separate. And if I, you know, one goes from one, it has to be reimbursed. And so, but the amount of people I know that have quite successful, you know, established businesses, it's all smashed together in a, in through a burst personal bank account. And I sort of think, well, their accountants would be happy because it costs them an absolute fortune to do their tax at tax time. I mean, a client of mine had, she had investment properties, her business and her personal stuff all being generated through one account. So, and she like, you know, she used a credit card. So, you know, we used three different credit cards because she's about to retire and looking for points to travel and stuff like that. So I let her keep her credit cards. But, but it's just segregating, you know, segregating what's business and what's personal.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a client at the moment and we're just in the start. She's in the process of moving all, because a lot of her personal stuff's paid through her business. And so we're moving that back to her personal accounts and then she'll draw away, you know, draw a salary or wage from her business to make sure that she covers those personal expenses in her personal accounts. Yeah. So I think it's, you know, if you are going to go into business, treat it as a business.
Exactly.
Like keep it separate. You know, keep that very, very separate. And make sure that you've got that, you know, very much that line, you know, that delineation of, you know, and also, you know, tax time, it's going to, it's going to save your fortune. One of the first things I did also was I employed, I engaged a bookkeeper. Because I know that's not my, even being in finance, I knew that wasn't going to be my strength. So I've, you know, I mean, engaged a really good bookkeeper that, you know, I just send all my stuff to and she gets it to my accountant and, you know, so it's fantastic. So I think, you know, with money, like anything in business, play to your strengths and get someone, you know, when you can to help you out with your weaknesses. Well, and also don't let your stories around money get in the way, because I think, you know, for me personally, starting my own business was my huge, huge wake up call to actually look at my stories and look about, you know, how I was, my self-belief, my self-worth. You mean, there's nothing like starting your own business to actually have to be smashed in the face with that, because you can't hide behind a salary or a position or a whatever. It's all you. And it's, you know, and particularly as a coach, because I'm not selling widgets. I'm the widget. So, you know, it's about, I'm selling my, how I value my services and that sort of thing. So that was a very big thing for me. So I think, you know, I mean, it's been fantastic because it was, you know, that's been part of a very big transformation I've been through. But it, you also have to make, you know, be aware that that you can't, you run, but you can't hide. When you're starting your business, you know, around money, around yourself. But, you mean, that's very tied to our money stories as well, because it's our money stories are very tied to our self-worth, our self-value, our self-belief. So I think that's a really important thing. So, you know, once again, for women in business, to make sure you've got your tangible external world sorted out with your business bank accounts and you know, understanding your numbers, understanding your, you know, your costs of your business, and making sure you put away money for GST or for tax or whatever, because this is a thing with a lot of businesses. The businesses don't fail because of the business. They fail because people are ripping money out of the business left, right and centre for their personal spending.
That's it. You know, some spending. People with their businesses, they think that the income is play money. It's not.
No, and the, you know, they see this lovely big balance at the bottom of their P&L and go, yeah, we're going to go skateboarding in Japan.
No.
But then they have to come time to pay their GST and things like that, and they don't have the money available. So it's, you know, once again, education, knowledge is all very empowering. So have that tangible space, really understand, know your numbers in your business, so, you know, personally, but also in your business, but also understanding, you know, there may be some triggers around how you're showing up in your business, because, you know, we all know if you don't value yourself, no one else is going to value you and your business, particularly around being paid. And I've gone through this all myself personally, so I really get that side of things. So I think that's really important. So it's, you know, it's still, it's a mirror of your personal situation, but just showing up in business and understanding your stories and what, you know, and being aware of those triggers.
So I know we were just talking about, you know, keeping your personal and your business finances separate, which is a really great habit to have. If you're a woman in small business, but then, it can also then impact on your relationships. So if the two bleed together and your business finances start impacting your personal finances or vice versa, it can then start to impact your relationship with your significant other and your relationship together with money. What kind of things can people do, or what kind of strategies can they put in place to put a stop to that kind of thing?
Well, I think it really just comes back down to keeping everything very separate. Like, you know, I mean separate for business and personal. And be very clear about, you mean, making sure that you've got your, you know, what you want and need to generate. I mean, it's just, it's about reverse engineering, really, is work out, okay, how much you want to earn. So, and, you know, one of the things I meant to mention before is when you know, you know, you've got a lot of clarity around your cost of living personally, factor that into your business as an expense, because that, you know, your business has to fund that if there's, I mean, particularly if there's not, you know, for me, there was no money coming from anywhere else. So,
income,
no, so that you needed, you need to factor that as an expense in your business. So it's just being really understanding what your running costs of your business are. And then if you want to put away money for marketing or whatever, or advertising, or making sure that, you know, you put that GST away or put money away for tax, and then understand what you need to draw from your business for your personal living. And, you know, draw that as a salary or a wage or whatever. You know, I mean, obviously that's working out what structures, you know, business, you know, structures you have in place and that sort of stuff. But, like, keeping it very, very separate and that's just, you know, and providing you with an income, you know, generating an income from your business, and that's what you bring into your relationship. So it's not about, you know, being in a relationship or a partnership and going, oh, well, you know, you've got that money in your business, why don't we just pull that out and go on a holiday? It just, it shouldn't, I mean, if there's money available, sure, that's great, but everything else has to be paid for first or, you know, money allocated for. So I think it's just, once again, really being aware and having that clarity and efficiency around your business, around your personal expenses, and don't let them, as you said, bleed into each other, because they are very, very separate.
And with what you do you, you know, help couples a lot with money as well?
Yes. Because the thing is, I mean, the interesting thing is, going back to the money stories, no one has the same money story. I mean, I even know people that have grown up in the same household, you know, so had exactly the same upbringing, have got completely different money stories, because back again, what they took in when they were little people. Well, they took on, they're different, their perceptions. I mean, I was talking to my kids the other day because they were having a blue about something, and it was black and white, but they each, my daughter, my son and myself, we all had a different perception of what that was because of our filters and that sort of stuff. So even my kids at, you know, 9 and 11 have got those perceptions and filters, and they're, you know, arguing with each other about who was right and who was wrong. And I said, well, neither of you are right or wrong. It's just your take based on your filters and your perception of what your what this is. So it was a really interesting exercise. So that's the same of what goes into marriages. So I mean, what I say with see with a lot of people, and this is, you know, I work with quite a lot of couples, and they're not in serious distress or problems. They just, you know, I think most couples say we don't fight about anything except money. And so that then there always seems to be this real disconnect around money, and it, there's such emotion, and there's it's so emotive, and there's so much other stuff thrown into it because we are how we're communicating, and it's got to understand what our different money stories are and the perceptions and the filters we bring in. So, you know, I mean, I've seen it really clearly that one partner will be saying something, meaning something. And, you know, say meaning positive and said with positiveness and love and of support based on their money story. And the other partner will be perceiving that as an attack and unsupportive and being horrible based on their money story.
Right.
And so there's this whole, you know, our words are not reflecting what that actually is, what is bringing the conversation based on. And that's based completely on our money stories and what we're bringing in. So what I do with couples, I get them to do their own money stories,
separately.
The individual money stories, and we bring it together and we sort of, you know, unpack it and talk about it, and they just, and then they understand. And the other great thing about the money stories are it sort of takes the emotion out of it, because we're not talking about them personally.
Yeah.
We're talking about the money story.
Yeah.
So, but it's, but then they understand what they're bringing to that conversation.
And that'd help a lot of couples to learn about each other as
It's amazing.
Stuff that they didn't know before.
Oh, I mean, I have had couples in tears.
Oh.
Well, but good tears, but but when they have this realization,
like a revelation,
that this is what's being, you know, how it's being perceived.
What's been holding back,
yeah, exactly. And it just, it takes their whole communication to a whole, like a completely different level.
Wow.
Which is really very powerful, which obviously impacts everything else then, because money is such a big driver in relationships and financial pressure and that sort of thing. So,
Incredible. Now, you're a woman in small business yourself.
Yes.
And you're a mum.
Yes.
And you're a very busy lady. And I want to know from you what you do to manage your balance. What kind of things do you do yourself, one, to manage your money, and two, to manage your self-care and your sanity?
So managing my money, I'm laser focused on, I know every cent that goes in and out of my business account and my personal account. I keep a very running every month. I know exactly what I've coming in, what's coming out, what I need to pay in my personally, my business. So I actually keep a book. I've got a notebook that I write that in. And everything, once everything's paid, I tick it off. And if other things come in, I put them in there. So I know every day of, you know, every month exactly what's coming in and what's coming out. And then I keep a track of what's coming, you know, the income from my business, what I need to draw down from my business to cover my living costs. You know, I mean, this is a very expensive time of the year, getting organised to go back to school and, you know, with my two kids and my daughter starting secondary school. So, you know what I mean? So there's the, I know, and my kids do quite a lot of extracurricular activities. So I know that they're coming up, you know, on the holidays. I know how I have to pay for that stuff.
And this is it, you got a plan, right?
Exactly. And I, you know, I mean, yeah, exactly. I do need to plan for that. So it's being, once again, being very efficient around my money.
Yep.
On a personal perspective, I for self-care, I get up very early in the morning.
Yep.
I get up about 4:45 and I, from 5 to 5:30, I actually, because that's my, I am a morning person.
Yeah.
I love mornings. So I do a half an hour meditation.
Yep.
Now that can, it's just quiet time, it's reflection, it's my, you know, the kids are always still asleep.
Yep.
So whatever that is, but it's half an hour of actually just stopping and being still.
Yep.
Whether that's meditating, well, it usually is meditating. But
that's a huge difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it's massive. And then I get up and I go for a walk.
Yeah.
I do that first. My poor dog has to wait for me. He's all excited about going for a walk, but he knows now, he has to wait.
Yeah.
And then I go and walk.
Yeah.
I exercise and I go and walk along the river. Nice. I don't listen to anything. I just, you know, I've got my, when I take my kids walking with me sometimes, they said, how do you know all these people? And I said, well, I see them every morning. So it fills my cup up, first of all, because I see, you know, I see the same people every morning. We stop and chat.
The social aspect,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a very, you know, because I live on my, you know, I'm my own with my kids. Yeah. So it really, it sets those two things, set me up for the day.
Mm.
And it sort of fills my cup up and I get a really nice coffee and go home and start my day. So
wow.
And that's one thing. I always make sure I get enough sleep.
Yep.
I don't function well.
Yeah.
Without
it's hard
sleep,
isn't it? Like, I struggle sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, sleep and just, I guess, just being kind to myself. For a number of years in my business, I felt like, and I think that's another thing that popped into my mind before about when you're starting a business and women in business. Not so much on money, but it is focused. It is sort of related to money. Don't feel you have to do everything all at once.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's well-intentioned and you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to make sure you've got this. Don't get caught up in that.
Mm.
Just start where you can start.
And you've really got to take care of yourself or otherwise the business isn't going to go
well. You're just going to spend your whole time chasing your tail.
Yeah.
And trying to, I mean, one of my realisations was I kept looking for that silver bullet.
Mm.
Because yep. I was made, you know, well, I allowed it, that I felt I had to do this, I had to do that, I had to do this to make my business a success. And then I stopped all that and just really got back to basics. And, you know, and all that stuff costs a lot of money too, by the way, which is the relation to money. And so it's just really start where you start. You know, people want to deal with you.
Mm.
If they need the big, bright, shiny stuff and everything like that, they might not necessarily be the right people. You know, it depends what target and what, you know, what you're looking for and what audience you're wanting to serve.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, you know, I mean, and that comes back to the self-care aspect of it. You don't need to be going a million miles an hour or, you know, I love that term busy being busy.
Yes.
Busy being
doing
busy.
What?
Exactly. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you actually being busy or are you being productive?
Yeah, there's a difference.
So I guess so just trying to be, you know, generally, the 80-20 rule, you know, live a fairly healthy lifestyle.
Mm.
But, I mean, I love a good glass of wine. I love food. So, you know, I mean, it's but in moderation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes.
Now, let's talk financial security.
Yeah.
Everyone wants it and few know how to get it. Now, as we're getting older and we've got mortgages and debt and stuff like that going on, what can we do to ensure our financial security at this stage in life?
Once again, it's probably having a plan.
Yeah.
Knowing where you are. Mm-hmm. I've got that term I just said before just pops straight in back into my mind. The best map in the world's no good if you don't know where you are.
That is so good. I'm going to steal it.
Exactly. It's a beauty. It's a beauty. One of my mentors actually said that. He used to say that to me about my business. He said, you know, whenever I think about your business, I think about that people need to know where they are. So you need to you need to know where you are and know your numbers, because if you're saying that you want to, you know, you want to put money away to build wealth or reduce debt or, you know, put away money for holidays or children's education, you need to know what your pot looks like in the first place, because you need to take something from that pot to do something else.
Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, I love the term financial aspirations. I'm not a huge fan of goals, because I sometimes feel like they're sort of, you know, you have to put them in a box and they're rigid. And if you don't achieve them, then you sort of, you know, you fail.
Yeah.
So I love aspirations because they're wide and they're broad. And if you work out your aspirations, that'll give you your goals anyway. So it's about, you know, number one, knowing where you are. So really getting that clarity and awareness and efficiency about your numbers now, and then working out where you want to be. So what do you want your life to look like? Because that's the sort of final piece of when I do people's money stories. Okay, so we've looked at the, you know, challenged you if there's any limiting beliefs and blocks, install and create, you know, new, fantastic, relevant, positive beliefs, and then use those to create a compelling vision for the future. And, you know, what are your financial aspirations? Because once you clear all that stuff away, there's really nothing stopping you of what you actually want to achieve. And then it's just reverse engineering back to where you are now.
Yep.
And actually, because the other thing is numbers don't lie. Mm.
You can't fudge them.
Nah. So, I mean, there's fantastic online calculators. Yep. And, you know, if you need to get, you know, proper, there's obviously really good financial planners I refer people to if they need to get some advice around investments or insurance or that sort of thing. But it's just, you know, once again, education, knowledge, and understanding where you are.
And you just led me into my next question, which is, you know, what resources would you say are helpful to keep on top of your finances? There's apps out nowadays that you can have on your phone that track, that are linked to your bank accounts, yeah, that can tell you exactly how much money you spent this week. Where did all that go? How many coffees did you buy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of resources out there now that I think the market's a little bit flooded. But are there any that are really good that you think would be useful to women in small business?
The ones that I use, because it's the ASIC Smart Money website. I mean, I use, when I get clients to track their spending, I get them to use Track My Spend.
Yep.
It's an app you can download. And I mean, I'm not very IT savvy, and if I can use it, anyone can use it. So it's very easy to use.
Yep.
I mean, there are all the other ones with the bells and whistles that feed into your bank accounts and stuff like that, which is all great. So I think, you know, once again, you've got all these tools. Mm. It doesn't matter which tool you use, just do it.
Yeah.
And like, so start some people now have got the really fancy, you know, tracking linked to their bank account. Some people just keep the receipts and put it in a spreadsheet. Some people write into a notebook. You know, I mean, it's whatever works for you. But for resources, the ASIC Smart Money, Track My Spend, and they've got other really fantastic resources. And they've also got an area on there for women now too.
Excellent.
In that, and it's backed by the government.
Yep.
And it's free. And there's some really good resources on that site. That's probably the only one I use. I mean, a lot of bank sites have got really good calculators and apps and stuff like that. When I get people, if we're looking at, you know, reviewing their debt structures and stuff like that, there's different websites that can get good deals for balance transfers on credit cards. Yeah. Or if you're looking for the best bank account that's paying a bit more interest, if they want to do a savings account. So I send people to different areas.
Yeah.
But the Smart Money site would be my tip, or be my top pick. Cool. That's someone that I use. And I use their budget, you know, when I'm working out people's, you know, smoothing out their bill cycles and everything. I use the budget planner on the Smart Money website and stuff like that. So
awesome. That
would be my pick. I mean, that things like, you know, for women, I've got a friend of mine, Helen Baker, who's written a book called On Your Own Two Feet. And she's just actually written another book about, you know, if you've divorced, on your own two feet again. So there are, you know, there are a lot of good books out there. The Barefoot Investor, you know, everyone knows it.
Everyone knows
about that. And he's just put one out about families. So there is really good things to read, to give you that really base education and knowledge. But I think that, you know, the important thing about them, they are really fantastic to educate people. But it's, you know, you need to use your, you know, it's not necessarily relevant to your personal circumstances. So you need to make sure that you, you know, you go and get personal advice, or you talk to someone about your own circumstances as well. So it's a very good starting point.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about resources and tips, what's your top five tips on money that you would give to a woman in small business today?
Okay, so it's probably a bit of a summary what we've been talking about. And I've also got some other ones around relationship I forgot to share with you before, so we can talk about that too if you like. But so top five money tips for women in small business is, don't give away your power because of your stories. Own your power, not your stories.
Yes.
So that's a really, really important one.
Not your story.
Mm. Yep. Really be aware of your own space. Be proactive.
Yep.
Be proactive, not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Be accountable to yourself.
Yep.
Don't have to be accountable to anyone else. Be accountable to yourself and show up for yourself.
Yep.
And then, you know your numbers. So have that clarity, awareness, and efficiency, and really take ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave it up to someone else. And that's, you know, that's a lot of times as women, that's driven by our stories. You know, I'm not good with numbers. I'm not, I'm not good with numbers. And
math isn't my thing.
Yeah, exactly. Math isn't my thing. A lot of times that's complete and utter bullshit.
Yes.
That's just the stories that we've been told or the stories we've been telling ourselves. So it's really, you know, take ownership and be accountable of yourself and your own situation. And just once again with that, you know, your money stories and your internal money stories and your mindset, just really understand the impact that has on your motivations and behaviours in your external, and how they show up in your external world and how they trigger you in your external world. So I think that's, you know, they're really important ones as well.
Yeah. And I'm going to add an extra one for you.
Yeah.
People should come and see you if they need help, yes, right? Yes. And where should they go if they want to do that?
Okay, so I work with people in two different ways. Yep. I do one-on-one individual coaching,
yep,
but for I've just, you know, had the realization, had some feedback that time-wise, or time commitment and, you know, financial commitment, sometimes that's not possible.
Yep.
So actually this February I'm doing some group masterminds.
Oh, excellent.
Through through Zoom. Excellent. And with live Zoom calls, yep, and a closed Facebook group with, you know, support and accountability group, yep, and some online learning material as well. So awesome. I'm going to look at that. So you can do a one-on-one coaching or,
yep,
group. So that's two ways. I also do a lot of speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm always happy to come and run workshops for, yep, people or whatever. I mean, I'm very, very flexible. So the best way to contact me is either sort of through my website, yep, which is www.talkingmoney.net.au,
yep,
or send me an email, melissa@talkingmoney.net.au, or just give me my Facebook page, business Facebook page is Talking Money, or just give me a call.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think you and I need to have a chat later. But thank you so much, Melissa. We got so much out of today. I think if you're a woman in small business and you need a hand with your money, or even if you're not and you just need to get your head around your finances, get in touch with Melissa. Thanks again so much for
coming. No, thank you.
Today.
Thanks for having me.
Now is your time to take action. Go to hotandhealthyglobal.com and download your free copy of the Hot and Healthy in Business magazine, packed with tips and tools and inspiration to be hot and healthy in business. While you're there, join the conversation in the Hot and Healthy in Business Facebook group. Until next episode, stay hot and healthy.